It's good to see you today. Appreciate you being here. This is the 7th of June, 2026. And today, we begin a brand new series of lessons. And the series is entitled, The Word Spreads. Now, this is from the book of Acts. We've been on the last series since November from the book of John. About in the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and He dwelt among us. And we went through the whole book of John. And now we're into the book of Acts. And we're looking at how the Word spreads. The Word of the Lord spreads. Today the lesson is entitled The Message of Acts. The message of the book of Acts. And the verse I want you to look at today is in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is what Jesus told His disciples. This is the word that He has left for you and for me today. And the thought I want to leave with you here on this lesson today is simply this, and it is that the message of the book of Acts is a powerful message. Man, when you look at what God did throughout the book of Acts is a book of transitioning. They are transitioning from the old law, trying to be followers of Moses and obey the law. And now they found out that Jesus came to fulfill the law. And He died. He paid the price for mankind's sin. And you know, I remember after I trusted Christ Jesus as my Savior, I had the same desire as most young men at my age, and that was to have a girlfriend. A girlfriend. Ding, ding, is that round one or what? All right. But I had a desire to have a girlfriend, but I didn't want just any girlfriend. I wanted a Christian girlfriend. And you know, I began to pray, as I began to grow in the Lord God, I began to pray for the Lord to send me a Christian girlfriend. And my desire was that He would send me one that would love the Lord. Because if she loved the Lord, then she would love me. All right? That was my desire anyway. All right? And I'd seen, I'm telling you, I seen some of those little girls. They were cute as a button. Man, I mean just cute. But they were witches on the inside, let me tell you. They were some witches on the inside. And they would proclaim one thing outside and be something else from the inside. And I didn't want that. And you know my background, I grew up in a mess at home and just, you know, never knew my father, never, I mean, it was just fussing, fighting all the time. My goodness, just, and it all ended up in divorce again and you know, with all that, and I didn't want that. So I continued to pray and ask God to send me a Christian girlfriend. I continued to go to church. I worked on a Sunday school bus route. I rode the bus to church. That's how I got to go to church. I rode that bus to church. I began to work on the bus route. And I thought to myself, you know, how is God going to give me as a bus kid, you know, something so great as this? Okay? I'm a nobody. And that's what I felt like. I was just a nobody. I was just a bus kid. And didn't feel like anybody really cared. And didn't feel like anybody really took notice of anything. But you know what? At that time, I was growing in the Lord because I was in Sunday school. My teachers cared for me. They took me out visiting. They taught me. They loved me. They came by to visit. And it made a difference in my life. And one day, I joined the youth choir. Here I was on the south side of Winston-Salem praying for a Christian girlfriend. And I did not know that Lisa was on the north side of town. Okay? Her mom and dad brought her to church. And I had no idea that while I'm on the south side praying, Lord God, send me a Christian girlfriend. She's on the north side of town, on her knees, begging God, God, send me a man. Send me a man, yeah. And God brought us together there at church. Amen. He brought the bus up this way and brought her car down this way. And we met in the youth choir. And we finally got to sit together. And one day, man, I reached around and they were making, you know, they were talking about things. And I reached around. She's sitting beside me on this side. We're sitting right behind the driver's seat. And she put her hand up on the bar there behind the driver's seat to turn around this way. And I turned around this way and looked. And my hand touched her hand. Oh, it just touched. It just touched. And it was like, boy, she's the one. She's the one. But you know, I say that kiddingly, but that's true. I'm telling you, I'm not preaching. I'm telling you the truth, all right? But you know what? God allowed us to date for 4 years. And we dated so long because I wanted to make sure that this was what God wanted. I did not want to end up in a mess like I'd seen in my lifetime. I didn't want that. And then when I finally got the nerve up to ask her to marry me, I took her to the park. And we'd been doing inventory at the company I was at. And I'd purchased that diamond and I kept it in my pocket. The whole time I was doing inventory, I'd stop taking inventory and I'd take it out and look at it, make sure it looked good and all this stuff. And I took her to Reynolds Park. There was a little walking trail down through the woods. And I thought, I'm going to take her to Reynolds Park today, but I want this to be a memorable day for her. I want it to be a memorable day for me. So we went to the park and took her out. And I said, let's just go walk for a little bit. I said, I need to talk to you about something. And she said, okay. So we went down there and, you know, we're holding hands, walking down the park. And she said, what you want to talk about? And I said, well, I turned around and looked at her and I said, I had given her a little pre-engagement ring, little thing. At that time, she wore like a little size four and a half ring or something like that, a little big thing. And it was just a little speck of a ring. You had to have a microscope to see the diamond, but it was real. But I just gave it to her because I wanted to make sure I kept her. You know, and I told her, I said, I want to ask you something. And she said, okay, what? I said, I want to ask you to take that ring off and give it back to me. I don't want you to wear it anymore. And I turned around because I was about to crack up. I was just, and she turned, I turned away and she looked at me. She said, what? I said, yeah, I don't want you to wear it anymore. I just want you to give it back to me. I'm trying to keep a straight face now, okay? And she's going like this, and she said, but why? And I turned around and reached down my pocket and make sure it was still there. I opened it up, and I said, because I want you to wear this one instead. And she says, oh, Ray, oh. Oh, man, it was good. Hey, man, it was good. Memorable, memorable. And we survived. And, you know, this year, it will be October. If we live to be that old, it will be 45 years. We dated for 4 years. We were engaged another year, trying to get everything ready. And then this year, we will be married 45 years. And you know what? It's all because of the Word of God. The Word of God made a difference in my life. It gave me a desire to have what God wanted me to have in my life. And you know what, folks? We go around in this life thinking about all the things we want and the things that we think we deserve and all this stuff. I don't deserve anything from God. But you know what? God has been faithful. And God has been good. And you know what? It showed me that God had a plan for my life. And I know that may sound crazy to a lot of you folks, but God's got a plan. Yes, He does. And he's got a plan for each of you today. I want you to understand this today. This is not just a story that the preacher tells you. This is true. This is life. God is real. And you know what? He brought us together because he had a plan. And man, I'm glad that we have been willing to stay in that plan. We were looking the other day and I found, when I was cleaning up in one of the drawers, I found a bunch of the business cards I had. I showed them to somebody here the other day of when I started there at the work at the business I was at. And I came there as a production control clerk, which meant you just basically did whatever the boss said do. You know, you did whatever he did. Worked in the office, worked on the trucks, worked in the dock, whatever. And I worked up through management, and I found my cards there that said purchasing agent. And then I found the thing where I was quality control and purchasing, and it moved all the way up the ladder. The vice president of operations. I found all those cards I had. And then I thought about the card that I've got now. And it just says, E-Ray Shutt, soul winning and visitation pastor, conquerors class teacher at Church of the Open Door. Amen. And I thought, you know what? Of all the cards I had in there, that's the one that needs the most to me. Because I'm where God wants me to be. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And all the other things, God had a plan to teach me different stages in life. You know what? Sometimes God takes us through different stages in our lives to teach us some things, to help us to grow so we'll be ready for when he wants to use us, where he wants to use us. And we have to take that in stride. The Bible said in the book of Psalm, chapter 37, verses 3, 4, and 5, he said, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And when I answered God's call to preach, and I trusted him to lead me where he wanted me to go and do what he wanted me to do, there are a lot of decisions I had to make. And folks, there are going to be decisions you're going to have to make in this life. And it may not be easy. And you may not even think that it's really worthwhile thinking about. But everything we do is because God has a plan. You know what God's plan was for sinful man? Is that all men might come unto him and know him as their Savior. Now, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know what? That's why the Word of God began to spread. And that's why God's Word is so important in my life today, and why it ought to be important in your life today. Because it shows us God's plan. Never underestimate the power of God's Word. When we as born-again believers, as we are willing to put into action what God says that we are to do. A lot of us know what God says do. But we oftentimes have difficulty putting into action in our own personal lives what God says we're supposed to be doing. And we need to be willing to put it into action. Okay? We need to be willing to put it into action. I want us to love his word today. I want us to honor his word today. Why? Because God's got a plan. And God's plan for this world is so clearly shown in the book of Acts, as we read this. And I know there's a lot of people that read the book of Acts and they think, well, if you read the books, a book of Acts, then you're going to be some kind of a tongue-speaking, charismatic, prosperity-preaching type person or whatever. Because the devil has taken what God's plan was and he's tried to pervert God's plan. And God's plan is not perverted. It's perfected. It's been perfected. And what he wants to do is perfect it in your life and in my life today. We need to know what God wants us to do. So today I want to just, in opening up with this book of Acts, I want to share some things with you to give you an idea of what it's all about, give you kind of an overview of things, and let you know why God did what he did and talk about the plan, and then we'll get more into it next Sunday as we start that second lesson. But I want you to look at it today. I want you to understand the writer, the penman here of the book of Acts. Now we know that God used many men, probably 40-some men, to pen down the words that we have in the Word of God. He did it over a 1,600-year period, and he gave unto these men exactly what he wanted you and me to know today. And God used a man named Luke, to pen down the words and the actions and the deeds and the works that happened. And we record that in the book of the Acts. And really, you know, it's called the book of Acts. Some titles will have the Acts of the Apostles. But really, this book is the Acts of the Holy Spirit as he worked in the lives of those apostles. That's what it's all about. And how God showed his plan unto all the world. He really did love them. He really did care for them. He wanted them to know him as their Savior. So this book, the book of Acts, is given to us through the Word of God. And I want you to see a couple things in it. Number one, I want you to see how in verse number 5, chapter number 1, that Jesus reminds his disciples here. He says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, the baptism of John did not bring salvation. It was a symbol of commitment unto God by those that would believe what the Old Testament scripture said, that Messiah would come, even as he was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. We read about that all throughout the Old Testament. But here, even as Jesus had promised his disciples back in John 14, chapter 14, verse 16, he told him, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, as Jesus told his disciples that, even so right now, the Lord Jesus again comforted these disciples. They were puzzled, they were bewildered, they just didn't understand what was happening. And that he told them, he said, you will indeed be baptized, immersed with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. You see, in the Old Testament scripture, the Holy Ghost of God came and dwelt upon God's men. But in the New Testament, the New Covenant, the Lord Jesus would ascend back into heaven. He would send the Holy Spirit of God that would indwell each and every believer. When you and I get saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me, just like he dwells in you, just like he dwells in you, just like he dwells in each of those who accept the Lord God as their Savior. He indwells us, and he's made a promise that he would not leave us nor forsake us. He's within us. So here in Acts chapter 1, now in verse number 8, God gave them the reason, and God gives them the purpose for the coming of that indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And look at it. It would not be for personal show or self-exaltation. That's what throws everybody off of these TV evangelist guys. And now these TV women that are getting up there and handling snakes and talking in tongues and listen, that's not of God, folks. That is not of God. They're exalting self. And when the Spirit of God came, Jesus said he would not exalt anybody else, but he would remind you of the things you've been taught. He would comfort you and strengthen you. He would lead you and guide you. And so here, it would not be for a personal show or self-exaltation. It would not be for any personal gain or some self-righteous religious show. That's not what he came for. But Jesus told him exactly why he was going to send the Holy Spirit of God to indwell them in this verse. Look at it with me. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There's the purpose, that we might be witnesses unto him. We're going to need the power of God in our lives to do that, folks. We can't do that on our own. Man, I think, and we watched that movie Sheffy yesterday. And that young boy, Robert Sheffy, when he thought that God was calling him to preach or all this stuff, and somebody said, well, come and preach for us. Come and preach for us. I can't talk in front of them. That was me. Man, I was sitting there watching that film in 1977. The year before I surrendered to preach the gospel in 1978. And I thought, that's me. I can't do that. I can't do it. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. It scared me to stand up and give a book report, let alone tell anybody about Jesus. And Brother Stanger said, you know, sometimes he said, yeah, I'd like to just go and leave a gospel tract somewhere, slip it in the door real quietly and walk away, and hopefully they'd read it and they'd get saved. That was me. But you know what? When I got saved and I knew what God's will was for my life, that Holy Spirit of God filled me with power and boldness. And you know what? I was not any more afraid to preach. I was more afraid not to preach. I was more afraid not to do the will of God than I was to do the will of God, because I didn't want to be put up on the shelf of do nothing like I'd seen many guys put up on. And I've watched young men grow up with me. And they said, I'm not doing that for God. And it was like God took his hand of blessing off their life and said, okay, I'll find somebody else. And I didn't want that in my life. And so I asked the Lord. And you know, I want you to go back to Luke chapter number 1 just a moment. Luke chapter 1. Look at this just a moment. The Spirit of God had Luke write this. He said, beginning in verse number 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And he continued that same thought and the message of God's saving power and what God had done under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he began here in Acts chapter 1. Now go back to Acts chapter number 1. And if you read there in verse number 1, he said this, the former treaties, the former letter that I've made, he's talking about the book of Luke, old Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You see, he gave the purpose, and he showed us why Jesus said, wait on me, because I want to fill you with my power to be the witnesses that I want you to be in this world. Now, I don't know the dates. A lot of the dates and things here, you know, they're estimated back probably AD 64 through 68. It's when Luke wrote these things. I don't know for sure. It doesn't tell. There's a lot of things in here, and I could go through a bunch of stuff. But there are a lot of things here that we don't know and we don't understand. But there's a lot of things here that's been written that we need to understand. And I want you to look at this again today, the purpose for the book of Acts. With each of the books that make up a complete canon of scriptures here, all 66 of these books, all of these things, God provides for us exactly what he wants us to know and to understand. Some folks say, well, why didn't he tell us this? Maybe it's because we couldn't handle it. I don't know. But you know what? It's not what I don't know that bothers me. It's the things that I do know and don't do. That's what bothers me. And I want to be willing to do what God said do. So here, John summed it all up the best as we looked at it last week in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Where he said this, he said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. It's not through being a Baptist. It's not through being a Presbyterian or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or a Presbyterian or a Catholic. None of those things are going to get you into the gates of heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And folks, that's what makes the gospel so important. And that's why God said, listen, you're going to need power to tell folks about a man who came to this earth some 2,000 years ago, lived a sinless life, did all sorts of miracles to prove that he was God in the flesh, then willingly went to the cross and allowed sinful men to nail him, to beat him, to scourge him, to spit upon him, and he died to pay the wages for your sin and for mine. And not only did he do all that, but then he was buried in a tomb for 3 days and three nights. And then when they went to check on his body, he was gone. Why? Because he had risen as he said he would. It's going to take the power of God to speak to men's hearts, women's hearts, boys' hearts, girls' hearts, to convince them, to help them to see that Jesus truly is who he said he is. We need God's power. And within the pages of this book of Acts, we see all of these things come to pass. How that they reminded the people, and their conviction of sin is seen. And some 3,000 folks get saved here in chapter number 2 of the book of Acts. We'll get into that in a little bit. Let's look at the basic outline of it this morning. The Holy Spirit of God inspired Luke to give a basic outline for the book of Acts in this one small verse, verse number 8. And here's what it was. Number one, they needed to have the power. Number two, they needed to be the witnesses that God saved them to be. And number three, they needed to be willing to take that message, that witness, everywhere they went, beginning right where they lived, in their hometown. And you know what, folks? That's where it needs to start with us today. We start right where we live, telling folks about Christ. One of the things I've noticed in the Soul Winners Club training program is that when folks learn how to tell somebody about Jesus, you know who the first ones they usually tell is? Their family, their loved ones. Man, when Sophia got saved a couple weeks ago, she said, I got to tell my mom. I'm going to let my mom know. She let her brother know. She let Ella know, her friends here at school. Now, she told them because they were real close. But then I told her, I said, now you need to tell Pastor Josh. I'm afraid to tell Pastor Josh. Pastor Josh be excited about it. I'm too shy. So I just brought her up here with him, and I said, guess what? Sophia did. Pastor Josh says, I don't know what. And I said, she's looking at me like this. I said, tell him what you did. I got saved. And Pastor Josh got excited about it, so she got excited about it. And then she went and told Pastor about it. And you know what? Pretty soon she was willing to tell everybody about it. And you know what? That's the way we've got to be. We've got to see the need. Now the timeline, again, there are many things here, but it shows us how the various epistles all fit together through the missionary journeys and all the things that were happening during this period of the Acts of the Apostles. It shows us, Acts chapter 1, for instance, beginning Acts chapter 1, going all the way up to Acts chapter number 6, we have the timeline narrative of Christ's ascension back up into heaven. Okay? It starts there. It talks about the actual birth of the church, the spread of the gospel among all of those that were in Jerusalem. That's where it was supposed to start. Then as you get directed here from Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, later over in Acts chapter number 9, we learn of Paul's conversion. Paul gets saved. If you remember, the disciples said, you know, Judas is no longer with us, so we need to pick somebody. And Matthias, I believe with all my heart, was man's choice. But the Apostle Paul was God's choice. God gave them the right man to make up that group of 12. And God used the Apostle Paul all the way up. Chapter number 9, we see where he gets saved, okay? We talk about in chapters 13 and 14, he begins his first missionary journeys. And then in Acts chapter 15, all the way up through 18, we see about the record of Paul's second missionary journey. And there God inspired the Apostle Paul to write the books of the letters to the Thessalonian churches, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. In Acts chapter 18 through 21, he wrote about his imprisonment. We see how that all came about. And he gave unto us, God gave unto us, the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, as well as the book of Romans that we use so many times to give the gospel. All through the book of Acts, we see these things happening. And we don't think about what is happening, but it's during those times that God is using and he's inspiring the Apostle Paul to write these other letters to the churches now that we have in our Bible. And God used him to, there's 27 books in the New Testament. Some 13, maybe 14 of those books were penned by the hand of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Man, what a man he turned out to be. We read in Acts chapter 21 through 28, we see Paul's record of his defense of his actions. And he was able to give the Roman leaders and the Jewish leaders testimony of what God had done for him. That's what God wanted them to know. Why? Because God was not willing that any should perish. Now listen to me. It was during those times that we have the Pauline epistles written, the prison epistles, okay? We have the book of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon. All of these books were written during these times. It seemed like of great distress in a man's life, but God was bringing it all together to help him grow and to help the churches that were being established to grow in the power of the Lord. Why? So that they could be witnesses from right where they were into the different areas and ultimately unto all the world. Do you see that today? All of these things are in the book of Acts, and we're going to see all that. And then after Luke concludes what he writes in the book of Acts, God allowed Paul to pin down all the remaining books, which we refer to as the Pauline epistles. God used him to write those things out so that we would have record of what God wanted us to know. Man, what a great God we have today. Now, I want you to look at some of the key things here real quickly this morning. I'm going to try to cover this with you. The key emphasis of the book of Acts. There's three basic truths I want you to see about in the book of Acts today. The fact, number one, these are emphasized all throughout the book of Acts. But fact number one is that Jesus is indeed alive and well today. Amen? He's alive and well. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Again, he writes, "The former treaties, the former letters have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive." He didn't do this in a closet somewhere. He openly showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And you know what? He also emphasized the fact that because he was alive, there was a job that needed to be done. And he told them over in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 18, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless." Okay, I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. "I will come to you." How did he do that? In the power of the Holy Spirit. That's that other comforter that he promised that he would give. So we see fact number one, the fact that Jesus is alive and well. Fact number two is this, that Jesus is indeed one with his church. Okay? Jesus is not somebody sitting over on a hill somewhere that you have no access to. We have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at Acts chapter number 2, verse 44. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, we read these words, "And all that believed were together." I want you to look at that. "And all that believed were together and had all things common." You know what? These folks that believed had something that they were together with. And what was that? The indwelling Holy Spirit of God within them. Now, if you go over to Acts chapter number 9, I want you to look at Acts chapter number 9 just a minute. Here we see how Paul persecuted the believers. And he didn't realize it at the time, but he was actually persecuting Jesus. Why? Because Jesus and his church are one. We're one. We are one in Christ today. And the Bible said here in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know what he found out? That as he was persecuting the church, he was actually persecuting Christ. We are one with the Lord Jesus today. When folks reject your witness of Christ, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. And they need to know that. But third, Jesus Christ is indeed powerful. That's the third fact I want you to see in the book of Acts. All through it, we're going to see the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in the lives of people. Go to Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. And I want to close out with this real quick. Our time is almost gone. Acts chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 4, the Bible said, Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Why were they scattered? Because of persecution. But everywhere they went, you know what they continued to do? They preached the word of God. And look at this. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Where were they supposed to go preach? Jerusalem, Samaria, all right, right in line, and preached unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with him, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And look at the last part. And there was great joy in that city. You know why there's joy in your life and in my life today? Because the Word of God is powerful. The Spirit of God that works within us is powerful. And He wants us to understand, listen, there's a purpose, there's a plan. What is that? Quickly, turn to Acts chapter 26, verse 18. And I'll show you. In the book of Acts, we see the power of God, the power of the gospel in the lives of those who are lost as Paul recalls Jesus telling him something. And in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, look at this. He said, here's the reason God saved me. It was to preach the gospel. Why? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. The gospel makes the difference. Amen. The book of Acts is going to show us some things. This is the message of the book of Acts. And man, I can't wait till you get back next Sunday to get this second lesson. Man, it is going to thrill your heart. You don't want to miss it. The message of the book of Acts. Father, I love you today. And I thank you, God, for the word of God that brings salvation through the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that today, Lord, you will help us to be excited about this gospel that we have, the difference that you make in our lives. Father, I pray that you'll use the word of God to speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid to be the witness for you that you want us to be. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach to us. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in class.